all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we all make mistakes, we all fall, we all fail many, many times in our life. But Jesus Christ never forsakes us. He never gives up on us. He always reaches down and picks us back up. If you are a child of God here this morning, you can say thank you for salvation. And if you've never been saved this morning, Jesus Christ is inviting you to a personal relationship with Him, that whenever you leave this place today, that you can be able to say, Abba, Father, and then through Jesus Christ. So I pray today that the Holy Spirit of God may work in a very special way this day, and we'll really understand why we are here today. If you've turned to John chapter 4, I'd like to ask you a question. Well, we know that life's greatest privilege, or what is life's greatest privilege, as I title this message. Some of you would think maybe it might be sports. Some of you think it might be some type of other pleasure. Some of you think it would be work. What is life's greatest, really the greatest privilege that we have here on this earth as human beings? I'll tell you what it is. It is worship. And worship God. Worship the right person in the right place, the right procedures, and the right purpose is the greatest privilege that you have as a human being while you are here on this earth. I'd also like to ask you another question. Have you ever been in a boring worship service? Be careful how you answer that. Have you ever been in a boring worship service? Now let me answer it for you. You have never been in a boring worship service. You may have been in many times a boring preaching service, but you have never been in a boring worship service. And that's what I'm going to explain to you today. Well, these things on the board is probably the most needful thing that we need as a Christian, probably as a church, and I also know as a nation, because of many, many times we do not come and worship the Lord. There's many reasons that people come to church, but if you don't come for the right reason, you're not worshiping the Lord. You see, our ultimate purpose and priority in life and the highest good is to worship God. How? In spirit and in truth. Your duty, your maximum privilege to understand the choice of a cursing or a blessing is your choice. You choose to worship, which be a blessing. You choose not to, it will be a cursing to you and to your family. It is your choice. This woman at the well had a choice. As it was, there was two places at that time that she thought that people ought to worship. Today, I can assure you there's only one place to worship. That is the correct place to worship. In verse 24, and I'll be reading probably several verses of scriptures, I don't know, but in verse 24, John 4 and 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. Jesus, our Heavenly Father, very much needed today, help us to understand, Lord, it's You that we need to worship, and how that we need to worship You here this day. But not this day, but every day, in every place. Lord, because You are worthy of our worship. What You done on Calvary's cross, and what You do for each day, for every one of us that we just want to thank you and praise you for what you do for our children. What you do, Lord, for every one of us. Oh, we just want to praise you this hour, and I hope that we understand before we leave this place today, Lord, what really true worship is all about. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit of God might just hover over this congregation in a very, very special way today. Lord, that we might feel your presence and know that your presence is with us, because we come here today to worship you. Oh, how we thank you, Lord, that we can worship you, a living Savior. Oh, Father, today, help us today, because we need you in our life today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, amen and amen. Did you know that you are or have been created to worship God? That is your highest privilege in life, is to worship God, no matter what people think about it. Now, if you fail not to worship God, then you are a failure. If a pen will not write what it's designed to do, it is a failure. If a car will not run what it's designed to do, it is a failure. If a boat will not float what it's designed to do, it is a failure. You are designed to worship God, the highest privilege of mankind today. And if anybody fails not to worship God, you are a failure of what God has intended and designed you to be. The highest quality of life is to worship God. Now, you show me how much or how you worship God, and then I can show you how much you really love God. Show me how you worship God, and you show me and other people how much that you really love God. They asked Jesus Christ a question. And Jesus answered in Mark chapter 12, 29 and 30, says, Jesus answered him, he said, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. True worship is a balance. True worship is a balance. It involves the mind. We cannot worship without the mind, but the emotion of the heart and our will to be here this morning. It is a balance in our life. Keeping these commandments of God told us it either be a blessing to you and your family, or it will be a cursing to you and your family. It's your choice here this day. Obedience. As we come in obedience to glorify God this day, and our total response to man is to worship God. That's our total response. The response of all that I am, that all that man is, and to worship God to all he is. That is our greatest thing on this earth. Everything that I am, to worship God of everything that he is. That is our total privilege in life, is to worship God. I know that you love your family. I know you love your wife, your husband. You may be spending 50, 60, or 70 years with each one of them, but there will be a parting time, as we seen yesterday. There will be only one relationship that lasts longer than any relationship you have on earth. And that is between your Lord and your Savior and your soul. It's very, very important here this day to understand that. We worship God because he is worthy, worth our work. The ideal worship now is man, me. If I'm going to worship you, worship today. The ideal worship is for us to communicate with God. For me to worship God, the ideal is for me to communicate with God. Now, in saying this, the background, verse 4, it says, Jesus Christ says, he must need go through Samaria. So you know exactly where we're going at today. Now, the Jews did not like to go through Samaria. Whenever they was going north or whenever they was going south, they would go around the country of Samaria. Why? Why? What was wrong with them? Samaritans did not like the Jews. The Jews did not like the Samaritan. That's putting it lightly. They hated one another. They hated one another. Well, who was the Samaritans? The Samaritan back in 700 B.C., you know, whenever the nation of Israel disobeyed God and God carried them away in captivity to the Babylonian Empire, they carried away the young and the educated and the healthy, but they left the old and the sick and the weak there in Jerusalem. It was tore down. And a few of these Babylonians come back into Jerusalem and they intermarried. There was an offspring. They called them Samaritan. They're still Samaritans today. They're still Samaritans today, the offspring. These Samaritans now, they couldn't go and worship after the offsprings, that they call them Samaritan. They couldn't go up and worship at the temple there in Jerusalem. Well, they was forbidden to do so. They couldn't worship there. So they made their own place to worship. Gerizim is where they worshiped at. Now that creates another problem. Jesus Christ says, I must need go through Samaria. Now the history of this in verse 5 on down through 19, as we see, we read a few verses. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat there on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me drink, for his disciples are gone away into the city to buy meat. Then he said unto the woman of Samaria, unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, that thou, who it is that ask to thee, give me a drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would give you this living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our fathers Jacob, which gave us this well and drunk from here on himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of this water that I give him shall never thirst again. But the water which I shall give him shall be in him a well of living water, spring up to everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I might never thirst again, neither come here to draw. Jesus said unto her, go and call thy husband and come hither. The woman asked her and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, or to give her a category award renter today, and whom thou hast had right now is not thy husband. Said it truly, just shacking up. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. In this background, this woman now is going to explain to us and Jesus Christ what it really means to worship God. So many times we have it the wrong way. Do we really come to worship God? The history of this woman. To start with this woman, she had a divine appointment with Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. She had a divine appointment. Jesus Christ said, I must need go through Samaria. Well, you here today for whatever reason that you thought you was going to come today, but I tell you, God was behind you, every one of us here, because it's been a divine appointment that you hear the word of God this day in this building. That is a divine appointment, same thing that she had. And he told her what was wrong with her. Now, not only that, she was bound with sin. Bound with sin because she had a thirsty soul. If you hear this hour and you have a thirsty soul, you have the same needs that this woman. Jesus Christ says, if you do, I'll give you this living water, this water that you'll never thirst again. She had a thirsty soul and she needed God. Her life now was a life that had been like an old faded flower, but she needed help and she needed Jesus Christ because she was bound with sin. But not only that, she was blinded by Satan. Blinded by Satan. Now, Satan, I'll tell you, is a liar. He is a father of all lies. Now, you can eat the devil's corn if you want to, but he'll choke you on the cob. He is a liar. But not only that, she was broken by sorrow. Verse 24, you said, God is a spirit. They that worship him might worship him in spirit and truth. She was broken by sorrow. You see, sin thrills and then it kills. It fascinates and then assassinates. Remember this. Now we're going to zero in now on the really spiritual need that she had. And the same spiritual need that she had, people has the same thing today. And even sitting here today, they people need to understand how we really need to worship. And to worship the right God in the right place, as I have this outline for you this day. Now, when he began to ask her about her, where she worshiped at, she began to argue with him. As most people this day, as you find out, you say, you know, where do you go to church at? Then they start arguing you what denomination is better. Is a Methodist better? Is a Baptist better? Is a Holiness better? Is this better? That they will begin to argue with you about denominations. They don't want to get away from Jesus. If they ever do this, you bring them back to Jesus Christ, because they don't make much difference about denomination. That is nothing of God anyway. It's a man. But you see, she said, now where are we supposed to worship at? Over there on Mount Zion, which is in Jerusalem, over in Gerizim, which our father Abraham has given us this mountain. Where is the best place to worship? Should we worship at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, or we ought to go over the way across some of those other churches? Where is the best place to worship? You see, they always want to argue denomination, which one. And they'll even go a little bit further and say, which one of these translation is the best? We'll get into that in just a minute. Samaria, we worship here on Mount Gerizim. Jerusalem, they worship there and over there on Mount Zion. But we worship where our father's been worshiping out for years and years and years and years, on Mount Gerizim. Now, verse 20 says, our Father is just what I know, just told you, worship in this mountain. And you say, Jesus, that Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Well, now, let's look about these Samaritan men. Samaritan, they worship there in Gerizim. Now, the Samaritans, they had a zeal. Two different type of people today. Now, listen. Now, these Samaritans, they had a zeal to worship. The Samaritans, they only believed just five books of the Bible is all they believed in, of the Old Testament. The five first books of the Bible. Moses, Pentateuch. That's what Moses wrote, the first five. They didn't take care, they didn't, like any of the rest of them. They put them out. They didn't have them. They didn't want them. They only went by the first five books of the Bible. Now, they was very, very zealous in their worship. I mean, they was on fire for their worship. I'm going to tell you, they was really, really worshiping. They meant a lot to their worship, the zeal that they had. But the Bible says, you know, they had zeal, but not according to knowledge. They had the zeal, but not according to knowledge. Once in a while, you go to town, you see two young men dressed up in white shirt riding the bicycle. They have the zeal. They're Mormons. They have the zeal. We can't get Baptists to get in an air-conditioned car and do what they do. Right? But they have the zeal, but they don't have the knowledge. The Samaritans, they had the zeal to worship, but they did not have it in knowledge. Now, the Jews believed all the Old Testament. They had all the Old Testament at Jesus' time. They had all this. And they believed it. But they had dead orthodoxy. They had dead doctrine. So we have one on one hand, hot zeal, but they did not have the Word of God. They didn't have the knowledge to worship. They had, on the other hand, they had the knowledge, but they rejected the Spirit. Now, that's where we're at today in most churches, most people's lives today. Either we have the zeal without the knowledge, or we have the knowledge without the Holy Spirit, the zeal to worship. Are you worshiping here this day? That brings us to now, we must worship, the first thing, the right person. Verse 20 through 24. Our Father worshiping this mountain, and you say that Jerusalem is a place to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me that the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew. But the hour coming that now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. verse 23 again, spirit and truth. Idolatry is to worship the wrong God. Idolatry is to worship the wrong God. 1 Corinthians 6 and 8 tells us, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things, and we by him. God is the Father. God is the Father. Jesus 70 times in the gospel called him Father, Abba, Father, to worship him. As I said today, they are changing the versions of Bible so fast. They print out so many different type of versions today. They have one now that takes the hymn out of it. Not God the Father anymore, but you worship God the Mother. Believe me, it's on the markets. Now we've come all the way from God the Father to the Mother Earth, and most people go all the way to Uncle Sam. We have done away with God the Father. You cannot worship right till you worship the right person. God is the Father. We do not have to understand all about the Father. I do not understand all about God. I don't know where God goes every day and all the work that God does, but you do not have to understand God to love him. You do not have to understand God to love him. No one understands all about God. I know whenever I was a young child, my father was a carpenter. I was a young child. I can remember before I went to school, my daddy went to work every day, and I had no idea what my father done. I didn't know what carpenter work was. I didn't know where he went, but I knew one thing. I loved my father, and I didn't know what he done, but he was my father. When he come home, I had the security of my father. Didn't know what he done that day. But I know one thing, I loved him, and I didn't have to know everything about my father for me to love him. Now, what the fathers want? Well, I'm going to help you out, fathers. You know, Father's Day and your birthday, and I'm going to help you out, fathers. For all you youngins here today about your fathers, I want to help you what your fathers really want. What the father want? What type of gift? You know, fathers most of the time are not very interested in the trinkets that we might get. I can tell you what the fathers want from their children. Did you guess it? All we want is love. You think you give God something? You think you give him a gift? We pass the offering plate. You think you give God something? You see, God don't have to have your money, or neither he needs it. You know what God wants? He wants your love. He wants your love. And if you're going to worship God, you're going to have to love God. And if you love God, you will worship God. Seek whom shall worship him. Because you see, who we worship, we become like. We become just like that person, or just like that idol that we worship. Man makes the idol, and the idol makes the man. That's what it is today. But also, we must worship in the right place. Acts chapter 17 and 24. God has made the world and all things therein. Seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelt not in temples made with hands. Now, shock you, but we don't have to be in this building to worship God. We don't have to be in this building to worship God. Now, this building is a holy place because it's been set aside and dedicated to Jesus Christ. But every place when you're saved is a holy place unto the Lord. Everywhere that you go, once you're saved, you become the sanctuary. Really, it's not really correct when we call this place the sanctuary, because this is the sanctuary. This is the real sanctuary. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not of your own? Now, I don't want to pick on anybody, but I'm going to. I can do that because I'm the pastor. Now, let me tell you, there's people that would not dare defile this house here. But they will defile it just as soon as they go out the door, this house. I'm not picking on you, but I'm going to tell you. Smokers, I don't believe there's a person in here that smokes but light up a cigarette in this building, because you have more reverence for this place being set aside But you see, this is not the sanctuary. This is. I'm not just picking on you, because every one of us defiles this some way or another. Not just in smoking, I can tell you that. I defile this body. You know what? High blood pressure, overeat, the same thing. You defy this body many, many different ways. People says things outside and at home that they will not say inside this building. If you got to defile something, which you think God would rather you defile? This here or this here? Think about that for a while. Which one is it? Because you are the sanctuary unto the Lord, the temple of God. Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary sacrificed his life. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20 tells us, having therefore, brethren, boldly to enter in the holy by the blood of Jesus Christ, now by a new and a living way which we have consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Now, in Old Testament time, we know the only person could go in the Holy of Holies was a high priest once a year, and only with blood. But Matthew says, 27 and 51 says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now we enter in to the Holy of Holies, every one of us. Have you been there this morning? I've been there this morning. Have you been there this morning? Honest way you can go is by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been there this morning. And you need to be there every morning, every one of us. Because you see, it's made for us now. Now the temple had this big, thick veil. It was white, it was blue, it was red, and it was purple. Everything about the old tabernacle that we have studied, we'll study again, and the temple, even the veil, everything was a picture of Jesus Christ. The veil had been rent now. Well, the white in that was a symbol of the purity of Jesus Christ. Not only that, but the blue, that Jesus Christ came from heaven, his deity, that he came from heaven. But with the red, royal blood that he shed on Calvary's cross. And then you see, they was purple. Well, whenever you mix blue and red, you get purple. What that means, his humanity and his deity, when you mix red and blue together and that purple, you can't tell where his humanity starts and his deity ends, or where his deity starts at and his humanity ends, because it's all mangled together. It represents Jesus Christ. This was rent for us that we might go into the holies of holies with the blood of Jesus Christ and lay our perditions right there in the holies of holies. Jesus Christ was the God-man. The privilege to go in we have today. Hebrews 10 and 25 says, now, I don't have to come to church because you done told me that you could worship anywhere. Yes, you can. But also it says in Hebrews 10 and 25, not forsaking assembling yourself together as in a matter of some is, but exhorting one another as so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Now, I didn't let you off the hook, did I? That is a command of God. Anytime you don't, you disobey God. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Think about this now. What's wrong with anybody that don't want to come to church? Forsaking the assembling of ourselves together? In the New Testament time, it was a symbol that they have not been saved. 1 John 2 and 19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. Why do we come to church? Why do we come to church? I'm going to give you two reasons. And that's the reason I'm here every time. It's not because I'm the pastor of the church, because I come on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. I've done that before I was ever a pastor, before I was ever a deacon. Here's what it is. This is the reason. We come to church, first thing, to show God how he's important to me. To show God how important he is to me. And the second thing is how the people is important to me. You are important to me because you bless me. When I'm obedient to the word of God and I come, I get a blessing, but you bless me whenever you come. And we bless one another. Simple as it can be in the Word of God, we not come to worship, we bring our worship. You did not come to worship, but you're supposed to bring your worship to church with you. How many times have you ever heard someone say, "Well, I didn't get anything out of it"? It's not about you. What did God get out of your worship today? What's God getting out of your worship? Because if you're true worshiping God, He's going to get the blessings. It's like somebody coming to my birthday party and leaving and saying, "Well, I didn't even get a blessing. I didn't even get a present." It's not about you. It's about God. It's about God. The third thing, we must worship with the right procedure. That's where it really comes in good to us now. We must worship the Lord in spirit. That's talking about our spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in us. And Paul says, Romans 1 and 9, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit." Psalms 103 and 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." Did you know that you come here today, you say, "Well, I want a blessing"? Well, I'm going to tell you what, if you come for the right reason, right person, and bring your worship with you, did you know what? You're going to bless God. Whenever you bless God, you're going to be blessed all over. When you bless God, you're going to be blessed all over. "I want a blessing." Well, bless God. And you'll be blessed all over when you bless God. Whew. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit has to be in you for you to worship. The Holy Spirit has to be in you for you to worship. Now, the reason that people might say that I'm in a boring service or a boring worship service, they may not have the Spirit in them. You may not have the Spirit. You can't worship without the Spirit of God in you. That's the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, I put it a little simple to you. You can't worship God if you're not saved. If you haven't done what God's told you to do, you can't worship God. The reason that people don't come and the reason people don't get anything out of it, they don't bring anything with them. God, we must worship in truth. We don't have to choose Mount Gerizim. We don't have to choose Mount Jerusalem, but we choose, or Mount Zion, we choose now Jesus. That's the choice we have today. Psalm 145 and 18 tells us, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth." You worship never rises higher than your knowledge of God. You better write that down and know it. Your worship will never rise higher than your knowledge of God. You must worship God in truth. You must worship God in truth. Real worship is based on the Word of God. That's the reason Samaritans, they had the zeal, but they did not have the knowledge as many, many places today. Saying they worship in God. Many oratorios, they call them sanctuaries today, of all different type of religion, they say they're worshiping God. They may be hot with the zeal, but they do not have the truth. You cannot worship God unless you worship God in the truth based on the Word of Almighty God. We are a religious people in this world today, but you're not worshiping God without the truth. You're not worshiping God without the truth. Now, a few years ago down in Florida, Clearwater, Florida, I remember that town for some reason or other. I don't know why God called that to my attention, but there was a water sprinkler outside of a car dealership, a water sprinkler throwing water on a plate glass window. Y'all remember that in the newspaper? And the sun began to shine on it, and it kind of made a picture that someone thought was a picture of Mary. And people come by the hundreds to see that. They just left the water on. It looked like the picture of Mary. Man, they was hot and zeal. They drove them to how far? How many people come? And they thought they was worshiping. They had the zeal to come, but they didn't have the knowledge. That's a bunch of, I ain't going to tell you. I like to say it. But anyway, that's not knowledge. Here a few years ago down in Mexico, a woman was making tortillas, and she burnt one. Y'all remember that? And she burnt one, and it looked like the face of Jesus Christ on this tortilla. They framed this thing. She carried it to her Catholic priest. They framed this thing. And man, everybody was so proud of this. It looked like the face of Jesus Christ. And man, they just worshiped that thing. They had a zeal to worship, but they didn't have the knowledge of the truth. It's all over us today. It's all over us today. The right person. And then you see the right procedure. But then also there's a right purpose. John 4:3 says, "For the Father seeks such to worship him." The right person, the day, to think about the right person. What are we going to do about that? You better know it's Jesus Christ, that he's in it. I want a blessing. Well, you be a blessing to God. Bless God, and he'll bless you. Psalms 103 again. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." When you forget about self and you think about worship, there'll be blessings all around you. When you think of who that you are really here for, and that is to worship Jesus Christ. Are you worshiping Jesus Christ in the service this day? Have you really, really been saved? If you have never been saved, you need to pray the sinner's prayer. "Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm a sinner. The Bible tells me that I'm a sinner. And I need to be saved. Lord, I'm willing to repent of my sins, and I ask you to accept me, the Lord, by your shed blood. I want you to come to my heart. I want you to save me." Then after he does this, you ought to thank him for saving you. And then you know what you ought to do. You ought to make it publicly. You ought to come down this aisle, what God wants us to do, and be baptized. And we're going to see the baptism tonight. And it is the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ in a picture form. Now, if God has spoke to you this hour, I hope you know what worship is today, because I got some more sermons on this. What true worship is. You have to worship the right person in the right place. And I'm going to tell you, with the right procedure and the right purpose for it to be true worship. We have to have the Spirit and we have to have the truth. One won't work without the other. It takes both of them. God says Spirit and in truth to worship Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Have to come with a song of invitation this hour. I've done what God's called me to do. You're here today to worship Jesus Christ. Did you know about your coming forward this hour, whatever God has called you to do? Did you know that you would be a blessing to others? Sir, you might want to get your wife by the hand. You might want to come and pray, whatever it might want to, what you might want to do. But you just need to come. By you coming, you know what? It'll trigger others to come, and others will get a blessing. You just need to come and do what God has called you to do this hour. As we have this song, so precious this day, this few minutes that God has given us now, waiting for you to make your move, waiting for you to make your choice, as we stand and sing, "Just As I Am."